Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of my podcast. And just so you know, I'm new at this, so I'm probably going to suck at this. But I'm just going to give it a try. I'm just going to start because I don't really know the perfect time to really start this. So I'm just going to start now. And this is basically, I'm just going to do a show where I talk about topics I'm passionate about, recent stuff in the news, and stuff similar to that. And while I may not be the most educated on a lot of these topics, I'm just here to share my thoughts. I don't know what I was about to say there. And I really wanted to start this podcast after I was listening to many clips from the H3 podcast, the Matthew Santoro podcast, and, of course, the Joe Rogan Experience. And it just really wanted to get me started podcasting. And although I am not, like, I'm not a popular person on the internet at all whatsoever, but, you know, I might give it a try, and maybe if I'm lucky, people listen to me. I'm hoping this will be available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. I just have to, I did this through the Anchor app, which is a great way to start doing a podcast, and I think I can distribute it to Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, but this will probably be on YouTube first. And yeah, I just really wanted to start this podcast for a long time, so let's just get into it. So the first topic for today that I want to talk about is Louis C.K. About, I believe, in October 2017, so a little under a year ago, Louis C.K. was accused. Louis C.K., first of all, is a comedian, and I think a lot of his stuff is really funny. And in October 2017, he was accused with sexual harassment and apparently masturbating in front of women. And recently, he came under fire for a set that he did. Like, I guess that's what it's called in the comedy world when he, like, does gets up on stage and does a thing where he talks about the whatever. He did a set at some place, and it was unannounced. The people there didn't know that Louis C.K. was going to be on there. It was basically just a surprise appearance. And basically, people got really mad at this. Although he was actually given, apparently, a standing ovation at the comedy place, which really surprises me. And he was talking about, I believe, racism and parades and stuff like that. I'm not really too sure about what else he said. And the owner of the place said something like he shouldn't be kept away from this for his whole life. He should be able to make a living, and he shouldn't be put away forever for this thing that I did. And a lot of people came to his support, while obviously a lot of other people were very critical of this, saying that he didn't really do much to show that he was sorry. I believe he said, like, a vague apology in one of the statements that he made. And I don't think he's made a statement about it so far. But I find this really interesting. And I'm really not too sure yet if I believe Louis C.K. should come back. I believe maybe it's probably too soon. It's probably way too soon for him to come back. It's been 9 months, and he hasn't really, nothing has really been done about it. And it's probably because he's a famous male. That's probably why nothing has happened. Not just a famous male, but just a famous person. That's probably why nothing has really been done about this at all, really. And I don't know what exactly should be done. I have no idea, and I have no experience in stuff like this. So I'm really not too sure. But, and also, Bill Cosby, he also did something similar, where he did a show of 50 people. And 50 people might not seem like a lot of people, but if you think about it, 50 people is actually quite a lot of people. And remember that that was in between his rape and sexual assault trials. Retrials, I believe. Retrials? Yeah, I think it was either his original trials or his retrials. And I find that really strange. And apparently the people there loved it. But I'm pretty sure all the people there were, like, really old And again, there were only 50 people, and while that doesn't seem like a lot, it really is a lot, especially for Bill Cosby after all this happened. And I also saw a video of him. He came out, and he was, like, after his trial, he was like, hey, 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 like, the whole thing, like, Fat Albert or something like that. And I just found that, like, really weird and kind of disturbing. Like, he just came out of, like, his trial, and he was, like, acting like everything was all good, and he just can act like that. That just really confuses me. And obviously, I don't think he should ever be making a comeback. And if he does end up in prison, I'm not sure if he actually has, but if he does, then I believe he'll be spending the rest of his life in prison. And his wife said something like, his wife of actually 56 years said something like, oh, this is mob justice or something. And mob justice, 40 women that accused him of sexual assault, like, that makes absolutely no sense. And I understand that she's his wife of 56 years, so I understand why she would feel like that, but that is just so ridiculous. And I just still can't believe it. I understand why she would do that, but you can't deny that she's wrong. I almost said that she's right, but she's wrong. And it's just so, I wonder if she actually believes that, or she's just in denial, and she just wants to believe him, although deep down she can't believe him. I don't know if that's the situation. I'm really not sure. And that just, like, and obviously you can't say that the women faked it, because after he was found guilty in the retrial, they were like, you saw them, and they were so relieved, and they obviously could not have faked that, unless they're the best actors ever, which is, I just can't believe that. I wonder if she still believes that. I don't know if she still does. I don't know if she actually believed it to begin with. I don't know if she was just saying that because she wanted to defend her husband. So, the point is that Louis C.K., I mean, it's definitely too early for him to come back. He definitely should be waiting. I don't know. Like, maybe in 20 years, like, he can come back, and then everyone will accept it and be like, yeah, he used to be a monster, but it's been 20 years, so maybe we'll forgive him now. I don't know. And obviously, what Bill Cosby did is in no way comparable to what Louis C.K. did. But it's just, like, it's just something that I really find interesting. And apparently, there was also a director, Roman Polanski. I believe he drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl, I believe. I believe that's what it was. And ever since 1978, he's basically been a fugitive from the U.S. law. He moved to, I don't know, maybe France or something. And he still remained a critically acclaimed director, even after the turn of the century. He got, I think The Pianist was nominated for not many Academy Awards, a couple of Academy Awards, and I don't know what his name was, but the leading actor won it for Best Actor, and they were still giving him all this praise after everything that he did. And now, after the whole Me Too thing started, they've been kind of, the film industry has kind of been not wanting to associate with Roman Polanski, and that makes a lot of sense. And I just find it insane that he's been a fugitive from the law for 40 years. I believe he's still alive. Yeah, I think he's still alive. He's in his 80s. He might be like 82, maybe. I don't know. 82, 83, 84. I don't know. I just find that so crazy. And, yeah, there's this whole thing of all of these allegations. This is, like, a lot to handle. And another one was, it was on YouTube, it was Andy Signore. He was the former, I believe he founded Screen Junkies, I don't know. I think he was creator of Honest Trailers, that, and, actually, I'm pretty sure Defy Media, the company that owns Smosh and also own Screen Junkies, I believe they sold Screen Junkies off, if I'm not mistaken. And so Andy Signore, he was accused of sexual harassment, and he was kicked from Screen Junkies, and that was a huge blow to them, and it's just like, wow, it's just like all these different things. It's like so crazy. And I believe there was this one recently that may have been faked. It was a 37-year-old woman, I believe, had a relationship with either a 16, with, I believe, a 16-year-old boy that just turned 17. So that is, I don't know what to think of that. And, yeah, that might turn out to be, like, false, so maybe that will kind of change the movement a little bit after a false allegation. I feel like that it would. And Kevin Spacey, his response in particular was awful. And his movie that he released recently, I believe, about a month or two ago, although it was limited release, obviously, after the whole allegations, all the allegations came out at him, he only received, I believe, $120-something on opening day. So, like, barely anybody went to see the movie. Not even, like, his friends and family. Like, maybe, I don't even know how many people. That's just, like, I mean, it's not, I'm obviously not mad about that. Obviously, he doesn't deserve the money from it. But I just find that crazy. And it obviously makes sense that it was put on limited release, but that honestly sucks. That Louis C.K. and Kevin Spacey, they had all these projects. Like, Louis C.K. had the show on TBS, I believe. It was the animated cop show on TBS. And he also had a movie, I believe, that was coming out. And it was a movie. It wasn't made by a huge company. It was made by a small company. So it was probably quite an investment for them and quite a loss for them when all these allegations came out, and the whole cast and crew of a television show lost their jobs because of this guy. And all those people that worked hard on that movie that Kevin Spacey made, obviously they didn't get the recognition that they hoped they would get, and it wasn't widely released. So all of their hard work that they put into all these projects that these people were involved in. So it's kind of like they're not only is this hurting, like, their own career, but it's hurting others' careers and this company that made that movie for Louis C.K. And I believe Louis C.K. made a joke in one of his shows about masturbating in front of women. And that's pretty weird. Pretty weird looking at it now. I don't know if that was intentional. I don't know if. Well, it probably wasn't intentional. What am I talking about? Yeah, so it's like kind of, not only are they affecting themselves, and they're just affecting a lot of people, if you think about it. And some guy made, like, a post about leaving. He had his box of stuff because he was leaving his position on the crew at the TBS show. The Cops TBS animated show, I can't speak today, that was starring and I believe created by Louis C.K. So that put so many people out of a job, and he put out, like, one of the crew members put out, like, this great post, and I really liked it. I forget where I saw it. I think I probably saw it on the Philip DeFranco show, probably, because that's where I get a lot of my news, to be honest. Yeah, so that's just crazy and, like, kind of sad. And I heard that apparently Kevin Spacey's new movie was not good. And apparently some people thought that Louis C.K.'s movie was not good. And I went on Netflix recently, and I realized that Louis C.K.'s specials actually haven't been taken off. Last time I went on Netflix, which was a few days ago, his specials were actually still on there, and that really shocked me. I'm pretty sure Netflix is pulling them soon. Which makes sense. But it has been a year, almost a year, since the allegations have come out. It's been like 11 months, 9 to 11 months. since the allegations have come out, so I really don't know. So can he make a comeback? Possibly. Is it too soon? Yeah, it's probably way too soon for Louis C.K. So there's this one topic that I've been getting very passionate about that I've been wanting to talk about recently, and that's been this plus-size model, I guess is what she's called, or what people like her are called. Does it sound weird? People like her? Does that sound, like, rude? I don't know. And, basically, she was on the cover of, Cosmopolitan magazine, which, first of all, I mean, who really cares? I mean, Cosmopolitan, I mean, like, does anybody even really read that? I don't know. I don't know any people that even read magazines anymore. And, so basically, it's like, I find it so ridiculous that they're putting these overweight, like, and she's morbidly obese. She's morbidly obese, mind you. I know you can't see the cover or anything, so you can't get an idea, but just look it up online and then you'll see it. She's morbidly obese, and I just really have a big problem with basically now, like, whenever somebody's like, hey, you're fat, and that's very unhealthy, they're just like, oh, you're just fat shaming, you're just a hater, I love my body, I'm fine with my body, I'm fine being on the border of 300 pounds, and I just think it's absolutely ridiculous, not to mention the fact that they're glorifying it and making it look like, oh, this great thing. And it's funny how they criticize borderline anorexic models that are, like, super skinny, and they think that they're promoting an unhealthy lifestyle, but they're doing this exact same thing. They're just taking one extreme, flipping it over, and making it into another extreme. They're just going from a super skinny model to a morbidly obese model. So it's essentially the same exact thing. And also is that, like, all these pictures are photoshopped. Even this picture of Tess Holliday on this cover, you can clearly see that's photoshopped. You can see that her face was probably slimmed down, and they kind of, like, made her skin look soft, like her skin was, like, perfect. And they were trying to make, and it seemed like that they were making, trying to make somebody like her who is morbidly obese, like, they're trying to make it seem like, oh, a beautiful, great thing. And she's, like, blowing, like, a little kiss or something like that. Not to mention she has a Miss Piggy tattoo on her arm. She literally has one on her arm, and that's, I really don't know what to think of that. I could make a really bad joke right now, but I don't know if I am. And it's just like, especially with these high obesity, overweight, and obesity rates, I believe 34% of men in the U.S. are overweight or obese, and 35 or 36% of women in the U.S. are overweight or obese. And as I said earlier, these plus-size models are making morbid obesity seem like it's a great, beautiful thing, and it's fine to be fat, it's okay to be fat, and it's so beautiful to be fat. And obviously, like, there are some people that find her and other women like her attractive. I mean, that's good for them, I guess. I don't know. You can have somebody that's attracted to 130-pound women, like normal women at a normal weight, or you can have people that are attracted to 300-pound women. I really don't care. But my point is that it's really not a great thing. There's nothing beneficial about being overweight or obese. All you're doing is you're absolutely damaging your body, and you are destroying your joints, and you are putting yourself at a higher risk for heart disease, diabetes, a heart attack, and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that usually if you're like 50 to 100 pounds overweight, then it's probably either you lack the education to have the right diet, or you are lazy and you eat a lot and not exercise much, or you just lack discipline. Those are the three things. But Tess Holliday, I believe, said on the Wikipedia article, although Wikipedia is not always accurate, that she is 280 pounds, and she is 5'5", that's what it said, and somebody at 5'5", 5'6", they should probably be at 130 pounds, so she's 150 pounds overweight, so she is morbidly obese, and people at that size usually have some sort of emotional issues. Because apparently it said in the her bio on Wikipedia that she was bullied as a kid, and her mother was shot twice, and she didn't have a good relationship with her father. And while that is a valid cause for her morbid obesity, I see why that caused her morbid obesity as an adult. Sorry, I keep saying it weird. It's really not an excuse. Now that she's an adult, she's 33 years old, so she should be old enough to finally confront these problems, deal with these problems, and get healthy. And obviously, it's not easy as it seems, not as easy as it seems, and maybe she's doing stuff like to kind of slim down, but if you look her up on Google, one of the top images is of her in little Minnie Mouse ears, eating a corn dog. So I don't know if she's really taking any active efforts to get healthier. And there's this also post, like, I don't know if she had like a weird huge hot dog and she was holding it next to her like face or whatever. I'm assuming that it was real. I don't know. But and if you think that, oh, I can't do this, if you think that somebody at her weight cannot do it, I saw this one person on YouTube. His name is Boogie2988. Some of you might know about him. He's a YouTuber with 4.5 million subscribers, and as a kid, he was abused. He got a large amount of physical and emotional abuse from his mother, and he eventually grew up to be, at his max, I believe, 550? Or maybe even 600 pounds at his max. And recently, but last summer, so July or August 2017, he got gastric bypass surgery, and I believe he has lost about 180 pounds, and he's down to 360. And he said, if somebody as effed up as me can get their shit together, then you can too. And I don't know why I whispered that. That was weird. And that really stuck with me, and that made me think, well, if he can do that, then I think a normal person that might just have some problems will be able to slim down. And obviously, some of them have medical conditions where they cannot lose the weight, or it's very hard for them to lose the weight, and they have a tendency to gain weight. I'm not really sure if she has any of those problems. I'm really not sure. And, the thing is that it's this whole thing, it's like fat pride, and I mean, there's no reason to take pride in being overweight or obese. There's nothing beneficial about it, and if you have pride about something, you take pride in something, you're proud about something. There's nothing to be proud about when you're morbidly obese. If you maybe want to walk a certain amount of steps a day and you reach that goal, then you can take pride in that. Maybe if you do a good job creating a video or editing some audio or video, then you can take pride in that. Being overweight or obese is nothing to take pride in. It's not like it takes a lot of effort to get to that point if you're a normal person. If you're a normal person that doesn't have these health issues, has any health issues, then it's really not hard to, maybe it's hard to get to maybe the size of Tess Holliday, but it's not hard to get up to 200 pounds if you're an average, normal adult. And so it's really nothing to take pride in. It really doesn't, like, it's nothing to celebrate. Like, why do you celebrate being overweight or obese? It's nothing to celebrate. It's not like you've accomplished anything except, oh, yay, I hit 290 pounds today. Oh, I hope I can get to 300 within the next year. Like, that's nothing to be proud about. And I know that people like Tess Holliday, these models, will probably just think, oh, this is just hate, and you're just fat-shaming us. And if she continues to live like this, if she continues this lifestyle where she's fine with whatever she eats, and she's fine with being morbidly obese, then she's more likely to die earlier from developing heart disease or diabetes or getting a heart attack. If she continues to be the way that she is, then she's going to die earlier. She's going to die probably in her late 50s or maybe her early 60s. I'm not really too sure how this really works. But and I'm not saying if you're fat, I don't like you and I want you to die from these conditions. Obviously, I don't. And I don't hate all fat people. I don't hate people just because they're fat. I just have a problem with people that are acting like it's beautiful and it's okay to be fat, like what they're doing is perfect and they don't need to change at all, and what they're doing is totally healthy, which it's not. It's not healthy whatsoever, and they should not think that what they're doing is okay, because what they're doing is not okay. What they're doing, what these models are doing is promoting an unhealthy lifestyle, which should not be happening when 30% of the world is overweight or obese. That cannot happen. And that is just absolutely disgusting to me. And it's kind of like the same thing as these anorexic models that they are criticizing. And obviously, I don't want Tess Holliday to die in her 50s from heart disease or diabetes or a heart attack. Obviously, I don't want that to happen to anybody. Obviously, I don't want to wish that upon anybody. Unless, like, whatever, I'm not going to get into that. Most people, I wouldn't wish that upon. If you were, like, a terrible, awful person, then that, okay. I'm just going to leave it there. But it's, like, I have no problem with you if you just, I'd have no problem with you if you don't just, I don't know what I'm saying, but, I mean, because these models are making the fact that they're fat, they're making that part of their identity. Now, if you're a person that is overweight or obese, but you're not, like, saying, oh, what I'm doing is perfectly fine, and I don't need to change at all, and what I'm doing is healthy, and if you're making it your whole identity, oh, I'm fat, and I'm fine with being fat, and I think that you should eat whatever you want, that's not okay, and that's why I have a problem with people like Tess Holliday. They're glorifying it and acting like how they are is okay, and I'm not saying that you should hate yourself for being fat, but you cannot ignore what you are doing to your body. And it seems like Tess Holliday and people like her are really ignoring it. And they should not be fine with being fat. So I think that's really all I have to say about this. Okay, so now for this podcast, I wanted to make it a decent length for a podcast. For my podcast, I kind of wanted to make it like an hour at minimum, like 50 minutes or an hour, because I think an hour is like a good time for a podcast. Not a good, well, a good length for a podcast is what I should say, because I like my podcast long. Like, I like podcasts that are 1 to 3 hours long. I really like the Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, and Eddie Bravo podcast. That was 3 hours and 45 minutes, and I listen to the H3 podcast all the time, and I listen to Joe Rogan highlights all the time. And sometimes I watch Steven Crowder. I bet, like, a lot of you guys don't know who that is. And if you know who he is, then that should probably give you an idea of kind of, like, my views on some particular things. But anyways, I don't know if I'll be able to get this up to an hour, because I think I'll start off at a half an hour, then work my way up to 45 minutes, then up to an hour, because I'm not really good with sitting for a long time and just talking and talking and talking and talking. Like, I'm not Alex Jones. I can't just sit and read something and then rant on it for hours and hours and hours and hours. I can't do that. And obviously that makes sense that Joe Rogan and Alex Jones and H3 can do stuff like that, because first of all, they have guests, which is something I probably won't have, which is okay, because I'm fine with it just being me. Plus, the only people that I could have on here are, like, people that I know. It's not like you care about them at all. I know that. And I'm not trying to knock them, but it's true. You don't really care about some random guy on here. It's kind of ironic that I'm saying that, probably, since you probably don't care about my opinion, and probably only two people are watching this, and those are probably, I don't know who those people are, but if you don't know me personally, and you're watching this podcast, then I just want to give you a personal thank you. I really appreciate it. I cannot do what Alex Jones does. I don't know how he does that. I don't know if he just sits for hours and hours and hours in a row. And I could do the podcast, which what I've been doing so far is recording segment, stopping it, and then add them all together. But it's just, like, it's too much like a regular YouTube video. And I kind of like it just to be a long thing. It's just, like, kind of casual, not, like, have too many edits. And maybe it is a good idea to split up the segments. But I'm really impatient. I really want to get this podcast out. I'm just so impatient. I can't wait to get it out. And although people are probably going to judge me for this podcast, and I'm talking about topics that some of them are kind of hard to talk about, and if you know me personally, then, I'm not going to say that, but if you know me and know who I am, then I'm not really that well educated on a lot of things, and maybe I don't have enough judgment skills to judge these topics I talk about. And I just like, because the way I have this set up now, I don't have this set up comfortably. I don't have this set up comfortably. Comfortably. I don't have my podcast set up comfortably. It's kind of just, you can probably hear the chair creak, and that's not because I'm fat. I really hope you don't think I'm fat, because that would really make me feel sad and really insecure, and that would make me seem like a huge hypocrite. Wait, it would actually not make me seem like a hypocrite, because earlier I said, if you are, I don't have a problem with you automatically if you're fat, and you just, like, shouldn't be promoting it as something that's great to be obese or overweight. So maybe I'm not a hypocrite, but I don't think I'm fat. I'm not overweight. I checked and I'm like, I'm in the normal range. I'm not gonna say where I am in the normal range, but I'm in the normal range. And this chair is just creaking because it's old. Probably it's probably really old, and I really need to get a better setup. But yeah, I'm just trying to stretch this out. If I'm able to get this up to 45 minutes or 50 minutes, I probably won't be able to get this up to 50 minutes. But if you add up the seconds on each individual segment, then maybe you could. It's just, but let me tell you more about the podcast I listen to. I'm just telling you, because I watch H3. I watch iDubbbz, I watch Philip DeFranco a lot, I watch Shane Dawson. I love Shane Dawson, I love his newest videos, and it's crazy, because over the past couple months, Shane Dawson has been, he's been doing very well. The least amount of views on one of his videos has gotten over the past couple months is, I believe, 10 million views, and that may be, like, underestimating. I think his lowest viewed video in the past couple of months has maybe 12 million views. I mean, he's killing it, and he's like an OG YouTuber. He's been around. It said that his account was created in September 2005. That's crazy if that's really when it was. And the oldest video on there is from 2008, but I bet it probably goes back to, I bet his video archive goes back to mid-2006, probably. And he's just been killing it recently. Oh, and now I thought of something else to talk about. So that's great that I went droning on. And that's, now, I don't really know. The thing is, I don't know what topics to talk about and what topics interest you guys, because this is just, like, I don't know the audience for this podcast. I don't know the type of people that watch this podcast. I don't know if the people that watch this podcast watch other YouTubers. Well, obviously, they probably do, because I don't think they just go on YouTube just to watch me. But if you do, then that's very nice of you. Very kind. And I don't know if you're just a avid podcast listener and you're going really deep. But I don't know. And I don't know what, like, audience I'm trying to hit. I'm just trying to, I feel like I'm hitting the YouTube audience. I'm trying to hit probably the audience. I'm probably hitting the audience that the H3 podcast is probably hitting. And that's like, they're kind of into the internet stuff, but they're also in the real world stuff. I'm trying to hit that demographic. And so, yeah, as I was saying, Shane Dawson has been killing it recently. And I saw, I believe it was one of the Team 10 members that posted a video. And it was where it showed some guy running through mousetraps. I have no idea who he is. I don't follow Jake Paul or Team 10. And that might sound weird, because if you look at me, I probably look like type of demographic that watches Jake or Logan Paul. But I do not watch Jake and Logan Paul. I hate them, just to reassure you. And I don't know how he has so many followers on social media. It's like 10.6 million followers on social media. Social media, that's a little vague. Instagram, he has 10.6 million followers. That's pretty crazy. I'm talking about Logan, Jake Paul. So I think, although obviously wasn't confirmed, Jake Paul also posted Shane Dawson, a picture of Shane Dawson, like a GIF or whatever. And they're not GIFs, they're GIFs. I hate people that call them GIFs, because they're not GIFs, they're GIFs. But I saw that, and then, obviously, Shane Dawson was in that video that was in the Team 10 house, and Jake Paul was there. So, and he's doing some series, like, Inside the Mind Of. I believe that's what it's called, Inside the Mind Of. Yeah, Jake Paul or whatever. And I feel like this video is either going to be really good, and it's going to either, and, but I feel like Shane Dawson's a lot of his videos, especially the Jeffree Star one, kind of shed a light onto people that were starting to become hated by certain people, and it was kind of like humanizing them. And I don't know, and it's just that Jake Paul is such, for lack of a better word, toxic figure on YouTube. I don't know if Shane Dawson can really change his image. And so I feel like the video is either going to really shed a light on what Jake Paul's actually like and make people like him and sympathize with him more, especially after this YouTube channel, Nerd City, which deserves way more subscribers, made an in-depth video on him about advertising children a lot in his videos. And he admits that his demographic is 8 to 18, which it's not 8 to 18. It's more like 8 to 14, maybe. 14 at the oldest is probably how old you have to be to watch Jake Paul. Probably 8 to 14 are the people that watch Jake Paul. And, that's not an insult towards them, I'm just saying that's the demographic. And I feel like it will just be very polarizing. I don't think it's gonna, like, destroy Shane Dawson's channel. Most likely it won't. But I feel like it will be a very, very, very polarizing video, especially when we're talking about such a controversial figure in terms of YouTube, Jake Paul. And, yeah, that just, I've just really been wondering about that, and I'm really excited for the video. I really like Shane Dawson's videos, and, like, he's killing it. He's absolutely killing it. Like, his channel, although his channel, I believe his channel will never hit under a million views, but around, I believe, when he was doing a lot of videos, like, he was doing a lot of taste test videos, like, of these, like, oh, this weird food flavor from my childhood, Chef Boyardee, weird Pop-Tart flavor. Like, I think around then, his, like, channel was starting to slow down, although he would definitely never dip below a million views, and he was definitely doing better than a lot of the other OG YouTubers, and, but yeah, but he, after, I believe it within the last 9 months, I believe his channel has been going way up, and now he's just killing it. He's absolutely smashing it. Last time I checked, he was getting over 100 million views a month, last time that I checked. It might have been 108 million, but I'm really not sure. It was between 108 and 150 million. Or maybe it's not 150 million. Maybe I'm overshooting. Especially since PewDiePie gets, I believe, 150 million views every month. Which is obviously not bad. That's obviously not bad. That's still absolutely crushing it. And in terms of ad revenue, it's probably, if you take into account the demonetization or people watching with ad block, I would say he's probably $100,000 in terms of money, but I don't really know anything about the whole YouTube partner system, so maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not really sure. And there's another thing with PewDiePie, he's about to be passed in terms of subscribers, where this one channel, I believe it's called T-Series, and it's kind of like an Indian Bollywood thing. It has 59 million, and I believe 59 million subscribers, and I believe it's been getting 2 million subscribers within the past 2 months, and that's just crazy. I don't know if they'll catch up to PewDiePie, but at the rate that they're going, I bet they will. And PewDiePie is still getting, I believe, 500,000 new subscribers per month, just about, and obviously, that's still crushing it. But I don't know, maybe T-Series will top him as the biggest YouTuber, which I don't know if I would really like, because it's just like, the channel's really weird, and its views vary a lot. I believe it's like from its Indian channel, sorry if you heard some noises. I believe it's an Indian channel. Yeah, and I believe that's all I really want to say. I thought that I had less to talk about, but maybe I was wrong. Maybe I had a lot to talk about now. Maybe I should keep on going to milk ad revenue. I don't even have ads on my videos. I don't know what I'm even talking about, to be honest. Okay, so I believe that will be it for this episode. Okay, I'm not funny, I should stop. I believe that will be it for this episode of the podcast, and I believe I'm going with the LTC podcast. That's kind of a dumb name, but I'm going with it. And I believe I got this up to 45 minutes, so that's good. I just wanted to get it, 45, 50 minutes. It would have been nice to get it up to 50 minutes. But really, what can you do? So, I might see you next in a couple of days. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. I don't know. Once I find enough topics to talk about and I'm able to get it to a good length, then I think I'll put out the next one, whenever that is. I'm going to be very inconsistent about this, and I think I might put out some podcast highlights, especially the thing that I did about Tess Holliday. I might put that as a highlight on the channel, on my YouTube channel, and I believe you can listen on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, because I'm going to put this onto the Anchor podcast app, if I am able to do that, and I believe that will be it, so I will see you guys next time, whenever that may be. See ya.